You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Attacking Third. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. On today's episode, we are doing a weekend recap for you all. So make sure you go ahead and leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. We're also on YouTube. Subscribe to us at youtube.com/attackingthird to get all sorts of exclusive NWSL content, previews, recaps, interviews, and more right here on A3. The NWSL regular season is officially in full swing, and Paramount Plus is your home for the 2023 NWSL season. I just want to let you all know that Paramount Plus is giving away one free month to kickstart you for the NWSL season, and you can do that by using promo code NWSL2023. That's NWSL 2023 for one free month of Paramount Plus. We got 6 games, 12 teams to chat all about, because week one is officially done and dusted and in the books. And we're here late night. We're linking up and having those late night dates again, buddy. How you doing tonight, Lisa?
It is so good to be back with this one. Honestly, like finishing out the last Angel City Gotham game that just concluded, I like look to it, my fiance Jimmy, and I'm like, you realize like I have to work right now. And he was like, right, season is back. You are working late. I was like, I am definitely. It's fantastic. Thanks everyone for joining us live. No matter what time zone you're in, we're happy you're here. Let us know where you're joining us from, because we are so happy to have you here. I love this. Shout out from Beach Dog Scout. Hey, A3, what an awesome weekend. I could not agree more. What an opening weekend from everyone. Don't worry, we are going to hit on every single game, every single goal, everything that happened, because there was a lot of chaos, Sandra, a lot of chaos. And our picks, we get to go through our hilarious picks.
We love to make our hilarious picks, because we get to come back on the recap and talk about how NWSL is just made of magic and the combo breaker, really. Anytime we make a pick, we just know anything can happen. And, you know, I'm a little curious if folks were already playing along with the bingo card that we had put out earlier on social media to sort of kick off the week leading up to the regular season. Did you check off any bingo squares? Let us know. But let's chat about it. Let's start with the game that's probably on everyone's mind right now, since we're going live right after the conclusion of that quadruple header on Sunday, March 26. Let's chat a little bit about Angel City versus Gotham FC. This one in Los Angeles, we talked about it in the preview, Lisa. We said East Coast versus West Coast. We're going to get some fireworks. It's going to be, you know, the after dark energy that hopefully we'll get to continue to see throughout this season. Kicked off at 9 p.m. Eastern on Paramount Plus, and this one ended 2-1. Gotham bagging all 3 points on the road. You could just hear the flusters of boos raining down at the final whistle in this one, because everything in this first half of the game sort of felt like things were clicking and going in Angel City's favor. And then Gotham completely flipped the script on this home opener for Angel City. 2-1, Alyssa Thompson making a bit of history with a goal in the 12th minute, penalty kick awarded to Gotham FC in the second half, Purse converting that, and Lynn Williams, the great Lynn Williams, getting the game winner ultimately in this one.
This game was everything. It had a lot going for it. It was fast paced. We got to see familiar faces that we hadn't seen in a long time. Kelly O'Hara, Lynn Williams, Allie Long in the midfield for Gotham. Really fun to kind of see this all play out. Abby Smith in goal. This is a goalkeeper that spent time in Portland and really didn't see much time on the field, but won the championship with them last year and now got her first start at Gotham in between the sticks with Angel City. Hello, we got to see Sarah Gordon in the back line, Alyssa Thompson up top. There was so many things to take away from this game. One of those being that I got the pick right. I had Gotham getting this win.
Run down.
But honestly, the way this match started with it was very back and forth. And then in the opening 12 minutes, in the 11th minute, Alyssa Thompson with a rocket and a bullet of a shot. I was like, let's go. If a teenager can do this while she's got to prepare for high school tomorrow morning and knock down this goal, I want Angel City to take this all the way. You could see that BMO Stadium was just shaking and rocking along with that Alyssa Thompson goal. There ends up being another opportunity from June Endo just a few moments later. She scores a worldie of a goal. Such a clever little goal. She picks up the ball and enters just over the halfway line, sees that Abby Smith, the Gotham goalkeeper, is out of position a little bit and just chips the keeper. And I'm talking chips the keeper from like 60 yards. It was beautiful. But we get a little VAR action in this one, Sandra. We get some VAR. Right. It was opening weekend. We knew we were going to get VAR, and we get it on this, and Junendo's goal is called back.
Crushed. I first of all, again, we're talking about a 12-minute goal, you know, from Thompson for Angel City, and then you've got Junendo delivering this just, you know, minutes after that, and you're just like, yes, all things are clicking here. Let's go. And then they take a look at this goal sequence. I mean, full on take a look at it. Like we see the center official say, hold on a second, gotta head on over to this fancy little new box that we see at all the arenas and at all the games now. And some confusion, I think, about like what exactly were the indicating factors, like in terms of the fouls or movement, you know, before the goal actually took place, and ultimately the goal was disallowed due to a foul prior to the goal. Mm-hmm. So I guess the reason that was the reason,
like pretty close to when Endo took her shot, though. So we're not talking like minutes before.
We're talking like fractions of a second, and so I think that was the reason to sort of, you know, VAR was like, you might want to take a look at this. And mm-hmm. So sure enough, the center official did, and there was enough there apparently
It ends up being Danny Weatherholt of Angel City and Kelly O'Hara going in hard for a tackle, and Weatherholt just gets a little too much of O'Hara's cleat, I guess, her foot. And so O'Hara falls down. I mean, it was pretty devastating to watch. Just my heart broke for Junendo. She was so happy, and then to take away that goal and now, I mean, hindsight 2020, to know that Angel City loses this match 2-1, and that could have been a difference maker in this game early on when that initial goal happened, because it wasn't until late in the second half that Gotham really started to put a lot of great pieces together. I mean, we knew it was going to come for this Gotham side. You and I had talked about it, about all the offseason acquisitions and what this New Jersey, New York team has done. Even head coach Juan Carlos Amaro's bringing in these certain pieces, but when was it all going to come together? And I think we started to see that taking place in the second half for this Gotham side. And ultimately they get one back and then they get another one within 10 minutes of that. And that it was pretty quick, 55th minute, 65th minute, and on a penalty kick as well. We had a handful of penalty kicks this weekend.
I think that we're going to talk about all the games, but, you know, so when we get there, this will make more sense. But I'm just saying that I feel like the West Coast games sort of gave us everything that I think you could have wanted, I think, within a game, whether it was VAR checks or penalties or multiple yellow cards, et cetera, and it sort of delivered, I think, in terms of the promise of being an exciting match for fans, neutral and hardcore, to kind of take a look at. But kudos to Gotham, I said, just picking up this win. I think they knew going into Los Angeles that this might be a difficult environment to play in, and part of that game plan was probably to ensure that they sustained or contained Angel City as much as possible. And it just looked like that game plan was going to get wrecked with that early goal from Thompson and then this follow-up from Endo. But we saw, like, towards the later stages of that first half
and early in this game, Allie Krieger goes down with an injury.
You know what? Yeah, these are all things that are like, things are going bad.
That was the opening 10 minutes of the game for Gotham. And that's when we see the rookie, Jenna Nightswanger, come in. And we're like, where is she going to play?
Where is she going to play? Yeah.
She's not a defender.
No. It's important to note that, because it's like she slots in and then we see, you know, Kelly O'Hara get, you know, kind of have to slot in and move a little higher at times up the pitch. But I think, you know, for the first goal and then the second disallowed goal, I think you look at somebody like an Abby Smith, right, who gets tasked with this start and goal for Gotham FC. And this was the goalkeeper that they went out and they got in free agency over the course of the offseason. So it shouldn't be too shocking or surprising to see that this is the goalkeeper that they are looking to be their starter for this season. And, you know, just sort of coming up with some of the bigger saves, I think, down the stretch, I think sort of motivates and sort of turns the momentum a little bit for a team, especially when you're playing in that environment on the road. And so to sort of close out that game or that first half, I think 1-0, I think, is a little bit of a plus side, I think, for a team like Gotham. And you saw how that kind of manifested that energy, or, you know, towards a little bit of different play. And we saw them in the penalty kick, and you said purse converted, and then this ridiculous banger from Lynn Williams. Welcome back. We missed watching Lynn Williams goals. Yeah, but I think you just saw a Gotham team just kind of settle themselves into the game eventually, and they just maintained enough composure to sort of get them through it. And not only that, just convert when they needed to convert.
Yeah, and barely at the end, because Angel City continued knocking on the door, creating opportunities. I think Katie Johnson, an incredible offseason acquisition for Angel City. She contributed a lot in the attacking end for this team. And I was a little nervous for Gotham at the end there. I was like, guys, hold on. There's 10 minutes left in this game, and you're giving up chances. You're giving up significant shots to a very dangerous Angel City side. You're making Abby Smith in goal make a lot of saves, but they're able to close it out. It ends up being the first and only away win for any team in opening weekend of the NWSL. A Gotham side traveling cross country to LA, and they pick up the win. And also, Sandra, this was Gotham's first win in the NWSL since July 8th, 2022.
Look, celebrate it. I want to see the years in the chat. Hit me with the years in the chat if you're happy for Gotham getting a win finally. You could see the energy on the sideline, what it meant to the team to pick up that type of dub. Definitely a good way to want to start off your regular season. We're looking across these games. And we had said in a lot of the previews for these matches that these opening weekend games might have those, you know, the feeling of preseason still, as players are still sort of getting into form. And we saw that a lot over the weekend. We saw players maybe coming out after a certain amount of time, maybe not fully there at 90 minutes quite yet. So I think this was the game to sort of cap off the weekend. And we still saw that the continuity of that, players coming off at a 60-minute mark or a 70-minute mark, And then we're going to get to talk a little bit more about the other matches. I think that's where we're going to pivot right now. 3 points for Gotham. Unfortunately, Angel City, no win this time, but you get to celebrate your rookie, you know, smashing that excellent goal. I think there's wins.
Nothing like even a silver lining.
I think in week one, even if you're not getting all 3 points, I think there are some things that you could take into consideration as small victories within the pitch. So I think that's what they're going to take a look at. But let's stay in the West Coast. San Diego Wave versus Chicago Red Stars. This one had all the goals. And I don't know if we anticipated that it was going to end up in a 5-goal scoreline, but it did. Ooh. San Diego Wave taking all 3 points in this one. 3-2 over the Chicago Red Stars. Goals by Nagasato, Ali, Shaw, Swanson, and Morgan, the two United States women's national team forwards, converting on penalty kicks, actually, in this one. Two penalties in this game. Tough. I mean, you want to talk about the picks that we made, right? You went San Diego. Of course, I went Chicago. It's week one. Got to start off on the right foot. But I think, again, a little bit of that chaos that we see sometimes in these early weeks where you're looking at some strong play from a team, but that's not necessarily the team that comes away with the points and ends up going to the home side in this one in San Diego Wave.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good point. You talk about the strong team in this one. When you looked at the lineup that Chris Petroselli put out for the Red Stars, you were like, all right, this is an A-plus team. I mean, across the board this weekend, we saw rookies everywhere popping up, getting starts, getting significant minutes in matches. And when you look at Chicago, who they had starting, Penelope Hocking in that front line, that was massive. They had Casey Krueger, Tierna Davidson in the back line, Aaron Wright, who came back at the end of last year. These were big pieces that I know Chicago fans were so happy to see back on the pitch, especially a Krueger and a Davidson. Davidson coming back from her ACL injury, and we hadn't seen her yet. She got called into the U.S. camp, but it was training only. We hadn't seen her get game minutes, and this was a massive opportunity. But it was a quick start for Chicago, putting a lot of pressure on San Diego. There's chaos in the box, and that's how the opening goal comes to be. Of course, it's Yuki Nagasato falling and getting on the end of this one. It warms my heart to see the celebrations from these players because it has been such a long offseason without celebrations. How it all gets started. But then honestly, San Diego, the response from San Diego is immediate. The Nagasato goal coming in the 18th minute, and in the 22nd minute, San Diego levels things up on a mistake from Alyssa Nair. I'm going to call a spade here. She was frustrated with how this play played out. I think fans were, the defense was, and Amira Ali capitalizes on a parry and a bad attempted save from Alyssa Nair and equalizes.
You know, something to note, I think we're obviously not going in super chronological order here of the games. We're talking with the Angel City game that just finished against Gotham, and then now we're pivoting back to Saturday with San Diego and in Chicago. And I think even though we're sort of jumping around a little bit, we find those common threads. And I think with this game on Saturday, something similar, we saw Casey Krueger make her exit out of this game after a pretty scary collision, I believe it was with McNabb. So we're talking about 10 minutes into the game, right? You're already sort of hitting that reset button again. And I'm talking for both these teams because they both came out and they were kind of amped. You could sort of tell, like, San Diego was clearly motivated by that fantastic crowd, right? 30K plus in the stands for their home opener on opening weekend. And then you've got like a game that has to like kind of settle for a second very early on in the opening 10 minutes. And then we sort of saw the kind of fouls that you see as two teams are just kind of amped up on that energy and they're just kind of in go, 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 go mode. And it just sort of felt, that was one of my reactions that I tweeted out. And I just sort of felt, I was like, you know what? We keep kind of getting these moments and these fouls and these stoppages of play and injury time. And it just sort of feels like it's going to make it a much longer night than maybe it should. So it wasn't too surprising for me, honestly, to sort of see Chicago get on the board and then San Diego go ahead and respond right back. Or I wouldn't have have been surprised if it was vice versa. If San Diego right. got on the board first and then Chicago responded. It just sort of felt like that was going to be the type of energy coming out of this game. And it sort of just really felt that way from minute one all the way through stoppage time.
And it was because we had four goals in the first half. Now, there was a chunk of stoppage time added on, and that's where Chicago was able to level things up after San Diego went back-to-back goals in the within 10-minute span of each other. Amir Ali and then the young buck, Jaden Shaw, ripping a shot at the top of the box and finding the corners. I mean, incredible for Jaden Shaw and the celebrations there for that young player. And then Mallory.
Love to see the return of the surf celebration.
Oh, thank gosh. Thank gosh it's back. But then we get to see Mallory Swanson line up at the spot, bury a penalty kick. Not the way I wanted Mallory Swanson to get a goal this game. I'm going to be honest. I wanted a run of play goal from Swanson, but we still get one. We still get a goal, but it comes from the penalty kick spot. And so now it's 2-2 at halftime. Four goals in that first half. I was like, mental recheck. What happened? What time is it? Okay, let's go. Because this was the late night game on Saturday night.
It absolutely. That was the NWSL after dark energy, I think, that folks were looking for and ultimately received. I think four goals in your first half, the first 45 there, I think only sets up more drama or the possibility of more drama in the second half. And while maybe sort of, you know, the energy of go, 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 kind of you sort of feel the legs at a certain point in a game like that, maybe there were some brief lulls. Yeah. We saw Chicago, unfortunately, you know, we saw them kind of struggle with this last year. You know, their set piece defending, not super reliable. There was a lot of footage on them in those moments, and tough to see this game come down to such a late stage scenario in which you've got a veteran player like Aaron Wright going up against another veteran player and Alex Morgan. And unfortunately, handball was the foul in the 89th minute. And then Morgan, same thing for me. I wanted to see Morgan get a goal and a run of play. And it was almost a little bit of deja vu. It's like, oh, where San Diego is sort of repeating the recipe from last year. It's like, look, make sure you draw those penalties and Alex Morgan is going to slot those away.
Yeah. This was a drawn penalty, right? Alex Morgan was like, I'm going to force the Chicago defenders into a sticky situation here, because that's game. How it looked and it's it worked.
Game. It's game. It's fair to me. If it's game, it's go ahead.
I agree. Yeah.
It's like, if you think if you're the defender, you know, or a fan of that team, you hate to see it. But
a handball in the box. And that it exactly was. Now, if Alex Morgan shot at her hand, that's her prerogative. She's allowed to do that. And then she just steps up and buries it. And this one coming at the final minute or so of the game. And that's, I mean, honestly, the whole second half, I was like, this could end in a draw. This really could. The way both teams were attacking. Yeah. We saw Kaylin Sheridan come up with some really big saves. And the back line for San Diego, Gurma and Real coming up with big stops. And Chicago, likewise, their defensive end was doing that as well. But ultimately, it's another penalty kick, too, in this West Coast late NWSL after dark matchup. And Alex Morgan sealing the deal at the end of it all.
Well, all 3 points for the Wave. I think, again, both of these games that we just recapped, I think that's sort of the energy. It's like, the 3 points are going the opposite direction, I think. But if you're LA or if you're Chicago, there are things within that opening match that you're going to look at as improvements, I think, from your season prior or for your rookies, especially. I mean, Alyssa Thompson scoring that goal. I think you're looking at Penelope Hocking putting in a shift alongside. Sure. That is a huge plus.
You're also looking at someone for Chicago, like a Tierna Davidson, giving 84 minutes of a game.
Back into form and looking really good in that time.
I was impressed we got 84 minutes out of Tierna Davidson. I was expecting like 60. Honestly,
you wonder how that's going to look when you have somebody like Casey Krueger going out so quickly. But, you reminding everyone, hey, I've returned. This is who I am. And this is what I can provide. So, again, silver linings, I think, for week one. Right. It's too early to sort of say like this is going to have huge implications down the stretch. But I don't know if that's necessarily the case for all of the games that took place this opening weekend. And we've got four more to get through. So stick with us. We'll be back right after a quick break.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing,
however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
All right, well, let's throw it back to the beginning of opening weekend. Let's talk a little bit about North Carolina Courage and Kansas City Current. These were the two teams that kicked off opening weekend and set the regular season in motion. And it was a 1-0 victory to North Carolina Courage. And Lisa, I called it on the preview when we were chatting about this preview. I said, look, we're doing this a little early. We don't have the confirmed availability reports, and we're making a blind pick here. And if they're ready to go, it's going to be Kansas City. And we went with Kansas City, and we said if it's not going to be, you know, a healthy lineup, then things can get kind of tricky here. And it ends up going a narrow victory for North Carolina, all 3 points. Guile with the debut. Again, another player kind of introducing themselves to the league a little bit here, the Danish international, picking up the game winner. And it was a lovely goal. Just decided to get the ball, go on a quick run, and just take the shot from distance. I think caught them off guard.
This was a great goal for sure. I mean, a good goal. I'm going to say it was not great because it was a good goal.
It was smart.
And it definitely caught Kansas City off guard completely. She's not going to get another easy one like that at any other game in the league.
That was a good goal time.
Now that the NWSL knows what she can do, knows that she's looking to go to goal. This was like a 35 yards out from Kansas City's defensive goal, and she picks up the ball, and she's just got a little bit of space, and she hits it. She strikes it and places it well, but it wasn't that fast. It wasn't that hard, and it really just caught Kansas City and AD French off guard. I think AD French was a little upset at herself that she didn't get that one, but hey, all it takes is one goal, and that's what the Courage needed to get this big lift over Kansas City. But you just talked about it, Sandra, the availability report, rather the unavailable report for Kansas City, because they had a slew of players unavailable for this team. A couple of season-ending injuries that will be on this list all year long: Mallory Weber, Sam Mewis, and then Claire Lavoge. So they are all out for the whole season, but Dabinia, she was out for this game, unavailable. Vanessa DiBernardo, Morgan Gattrall, Kristen Hamilton, Hannah Glass, and Desiree Scott, who we also know Scott is going to be out for a little bit. But Hamilton, Gattrall, DiBernardo, Dabinia, Hannah Glass, those are big pieces that were missing for this Kansas City side. I think it would have been an entirely different game.
I mean, no Kristen Hamilton.
And I mean, no Dabinia which was like all eyes were on this game.
You just keep going back to that. Like,
everyone in the country was watching this. Everyone in Brazil was watching this game for Dabinha, and she's not available. Going back to play her old club in Cary, North Carolina, there were TIFOs and posters and signs for Dabinha that she'll always be a Courage family member, but she was going down that day and she doesn't play. And I think it's a different story if you have even two of those. Give Kansas City Kristen Hamilton, and I think it's a different story. Give them a Morgan Gatral or Vanessa DiBernardo, just one, and I think it's a different story on this day.
No, I'm with you. I think, look, where you look at the availability reports, that opens up opportunity in other areas, right, in terms of positionally in your starting 11. And for Kansas City and Matt Potter, listen, you signed a bunch of rookies to contracts, and guess what? You're going to learn today. And that's what happened in week one. Honestly, I think that's my takeaway. If you're Kansas City and you're looking at your week one and you're saying, okay, maybe this is a game where we looked at, like, we dropped some points or left some points behind, but it's week one. What are the gains here? What are the silver linings? Right. And they knew heading into this week that they were going to be without, multiple players, specifically that big three, right? I guess we could just refer to them as that, the big three of their free agency, with Dabinha and Morgan Gatral and Vanessa DiBernardo. But that opened things up for rookies to get those minutes. So whether it was a Gabrielle Robinson or an Alexa Spanstra or their number two overall pick and Michelle Cooper, right? And I thought that was probably the for me, watching the game, I'm like, okay, well, this is the takeaway from your
totally
that Michelle Cooper has this ridiculous, relentless work rate. And we saw it in this game. I think we saw the Courage do a really good job of getting off to a quick start, getting on the front foot in this game, kind of taking that game to Kansas City. And maybe they should have had more than one coming out of that first half, but that's not how it worked out.
Yeah.
Caroline doing maddening things on the ball, right? Completely exposing space on the right side and taking advantage of that. It was a little nervy, I think, to not have the insurance goal come, but it was enough. And then within that, we saw Kansas City, though, you leave room for a team to come back. And we saw in the second half, Kansas City started to, like, level out the shot total against North Carolina. But when we're looking at that, I think that's where you're looking at the numbers and you're like, Sandra, like, is it really, you know, should we really be, like, praising, you know, the rookies this high coming off of the opening week? And the answer is
The stats to back it up.
Alyssa Thompson got the goal in her debut. Michelle Cooper is over here, accounting for 5 of 11 of Kansas City's shots. And
Michelle Cooper across the board was the stat leader for Kansas City in 5 shots, 2 of them on target, 5 of them coming from inside the box. Incredible block shots. Like, she led the board for Kansas City in stats.
Yeah, I loved her. There was a great, I think there was a really good moment in the game where we saw the other teams, like, MVP. I think if you're looking at MVPs for both of these teams, when I wrote up this game, I went with team MVPs as Caroline and Gael, obviously, for getting the goal. But for Kansas City, it was Cooper and French, you know, in terms of sort of keeping things together, you know, keeping the scoreline low for Kansas City to try to go ahead and get back in. It just didn't happen for them. But there was a great little kind of 1v1 moment where you just saw Cooper make this brilliant recovery run and kind of shield off Caroline in the end, kind of eliminating a dangerous moment there, perhaps. But this one ends in a narrow scoreline. It was cool to sort of hear from the coaches in the postgame in this one as well. I think it wasn't lost on either of them, you know, maybe for Potter, for some of the things that they could have done better, or even for Coach Nahas and the North Carolina side of things, that, you know, praising his young players as well, that it was referring to it as a real gutsy win, because it went from them kind of having all these opportunities to all of a sudden they had to really try to sustain a narrow lead. So,
yeah. And we got to see for the Courage, Tyler Lucy get a start. And we weren't unsure where we'd see her play. She was in the front line. She was tasked as a forward. And I think she was honestly an MVP in my eyes of this game. Yeah. I mean, of course, Caroline dancing on the ball, making Kansas City defenders look silly. Just the space that Caroline can occupy and create for herself and for her teammates is truly a gift, and it is such a pleasure to watch Caroline play. But Tyler Lucy did a really nice job attacking down that right side, and the overloads with Caroline, it was too much. It was a handful for Kansas City to handle, and a lot of that because of a player like Tyler Lucy and what she was able to do on the pitch. It was good to see her, and I like Emily Fox being on the right. So we saw her so much on the left, and I'm so glad she's playing on the right. That's her strong side with that right foot, and the combination with Fox and Lucy, it could be magical this year. It really could.
Yeah, I thought Fox had a great game, got really, really high and in the middle of the pitch at times for the Currents. I'm eager to see what the Courage sort of build off of in terms of this victory and going into next week as well. Just some very, very good moments from their players individually and as a collective. And so I'm eager to sort of see what that looks like in the next week. I mean, I really liked it. It just took, we're talking 5 minutes for this team to really just start to sort of present themselves to not only Kansas City, but to the league, whether it was, you know, Caroline creating this chaos very, very early, or, you know, Narumi Miura, the Japanese international, sort of getting an early chance and look on goal. Like I said, very, very interesting pieces that I don't think a lot of folks are maybe familiar with some of the players and their games internationally. And we're going to get to see that as it develops over the course of a regular season in NWSL with the Courage. Not the only one goal scoreline this week. We also have to talk about Washington Spirit versus OL Reign. And you and I are taking collective L's now here, Lisa. We also went with the Reign in this one, and we were incorrect. And maybe we should have listened to history a little bit. Maybe we should have just looked at the record and say, listen, the Spirit have typically gotten the better of the Reign, and they're going to do it again in week one. But we didn't. We didn't listen to history. We thought that the Reign had enough pieces here sort of continue to build off of that Shield winning.
And I think season. That's our fault as well, because we should have looked at OL Reign's roster and how much it didn't change at all from last year and think, hey, are they going to struggle in the same areas? Yes.
Ball 60 times and get zero goals? Quite possibly.
It's the same group. Of course they're going to do the same thing. I mean, silly us. So whoever's listening to us for their betting tips, I mean, you're on your own.
We're not an odd show, thankfully. 1-0 Trinity Rodman with the moment of brilliance here in this game. I loved it. I loved this goal. Kudos to the ball players out there who decided, you know what? If I've got this many touches on a run at this point, I'm just going to shoot it and go. And we saw that a couple times over the course of week one, and sometimes they led to goals. And I love that this happened for Rodman. I think at this point, if you're making such a good run and you've got defenders who cannot catch up with you, then why not just take a crack? And she went ahead and did it. And, beat Valentelis Joyce, and it was a great goal by Rodman. The celebration, I like to see. I liked that there are some players who had celebrations ready in case they scored. It looked like it got interrupted a little bit, but I still A for effort. You love to see it.
The goal from Rodman really was impressive. I mean, this is something that fans of Rodman in general, I'm not just going to say Washington, have been waiting for her to do, almost take a little bit more ownership of the game in front of her and not rely on the pieces around her. I mean, don't get me wrong, Rodman has created magic for herself and for her teammates time and time again, but in this moment, it is her. There is no assist at all anywhere near this play. It comes in off of a throw-in, and Rodman just turns, spins out of a couple defenders, and attacks the space, as you said. And why OL Reign defenders do not step to her? None of them close down the space. None of them think, wow, she's one of the best players in this league. Let me close down the space and make sure she can't shoot. Nope. This was a beautiful shot from Rodman about 20 yards out. She finds the back of the net. It's just after the halftime as well. So it was a great way for them to start the halftime. And I think that perhaps was a little bit of the conversation for Mark Parsons and the Spirit squad in the locker room at halftime. There's a lot of space. Take it. Yeah. Take players on 1v1. Be have ownership of what you're doing, because we saw a little bit more of that throughout the second half for the Spirit.
I want to ask you about this space that you brought up here, because we saw maybe a little bit of a positional or tactical introduction here from Laura Harvey. We got to see Emily Sonnet in the midfield, and we're talking about space or pockets of space that have been exposed. I'm curious if we're going to continue to see Sonnet in the midfield here for the Reign moving forward. Call it week one, or dusting off the preseason rust and getting back into form, because Sonnet is one of these players that is still working back from an injury sustained last year and building on minutes. But just some moments where we saw her kind of just playing directly into pressure, versus sort of playing out. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts and maybe how the midfield looked there for the Reign.
I don't like Emily Sonnet in that defensive six role. Those are my thoughts. I don't think I don't think she is as effective there as you need the six to be. I mean, that's like one of the most important positions on the pitch, because not only do you have to be the first line of actual hard tackle defense, you actually have to make those stops, because if it gets past you, you're leaving your center backs in a very exposed state. And then on the flip side of it, with the ball, the defensive midfielder six, in this case, Emily Sonnet, has to be the one to play simple. You can't lose the ball. The pass completion for a defensive six midi needs to be above 95%, 90% maybe on a bad day. But that was not the case for Emily Sonnet. I think she tried too much. I think there was almost this mindset for her that she was like, oh, I'm not in the back line. I'm in the midfield. I can take risks and try some crazy things. And that was not going to work for her. And then even as the game went on, and as a player, you can sense, hey, my passes aren't connecting. I'm struggling a little bit. I feel lost in space and defensive structure. I mean, that's why Rodman was able to score that goal, because Emily Sonnet was pulled well out of position and she wasn't occupying that space to step to the ball where Rodman was running. And as a player, Emily Sonnet, I didn't see her making any in-game adjustments as to, okay, I'm really going to play the ball simple. I'm not going to try anything tricky. I'm not going to play square balls. I'm going to find an open man and just connect with them. So that was something that was tough to see. It was an interesting effort from OL Reign and Laura Harvey's side to try that out.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, kudos to the goalkeepers. I think there were a couple games here throughout the weekend that you and I were looking at, like, oh, like, where are we going to see the game that's going to be a little bit of a goalkeeper battle? And I don't know if this was necessarily a battle per se, but I know for both of these goalkeepers, they had to come up with a couple of pretty big saves on either ends. And I thought that Kingsbury had a really great match for the Spirit in this one, helping, helped to lock up all three of those points for the Spirit in match week one. So that's it for the narrow score lines on opening weekend. And we're going to talk about the final two games of opening weekend. So stick with us after a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think.
Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you.
But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
All right, final two matches that we're going to go ahead and recap here. Houston Dash versus Racing Louisville FC. Houston, the hosts in this one, chose this as a draw. And I'm very happy to get a pick correct in this one, although I'm a little disappointed because I thought this was going to be the game that was going to give us the goals, and it was not. But that doesn't mean it wasn't exciting. I really enjoyed watching this.
This is your first correct pick.
Yeah, I went with KC, Chicago, Rain. That was LLL. And yeah, I think we saved my picks for last, I think is the energy in this segment. Look, 0-0 doesn't always mean it's a dull or a snooze fest. I thought this game was pretty end-to-end at some moments. And end-to-end can also be a nice way of saying kind of frantic, right? Frantic, or maybe frustrated at some moments. But it just, anytime it felt like we thought we were going to get a goal in this one, there was a save or a shot went wide or otherwise. But 0-0, the two teams splitting the points in this one.
Katie Lund. Wow. Yeah. Wow. She led the league in saves last year, but that was mostly due in part to bad defense and Racing Louisville giving up a lot of shots that Katie Lund had to save. She had 7 in this match, and they were all very well earned by Houston Dash. And Katie Lund keeping a clean sheet, she has to walk away from this game incredibly proud of herself, incredibly proud of her skill and what she was able to do on the pitch. It was very impressive to watch Katie Lund between the sticks for Racing Louisville in this match. I mean, she was all over the place stealing goals from Houston Dash, not letting them find the back of the net, because it was a battle. I liked how you said it, definitely frantic between these sides. 17 shots for Racing Louisville, 15 shots for Houston, and no goals to come of any of this. 7 shots on target for Houston, 5 for Racing Louisville. This game had a little bit of everything, and I loved it. It was one of the most entertaining games of the weekend.
Yeah, I look, week one can sometimes, like we said, week one can sometimes maybe lead to some frustrating moments, and I think we saw some of that in this game at certain points, because I think if you're racking up into the double digits of the shot totals for either side of the pitch here, and not a single one of them is getting into the back of the net, there are going to be some moments where you see some frustration settling in.
And some of them should have found the back of the net.
Yeah. But it's a tough league. It's not easy to score.
Diana Ordonez making a diving header attempt. That goal was on a platter for her. Yeah. It was. Yeah. And she heads it right at Katie Lund in goal. So it ends up being a positive play and a positive save for Lund, and something that is probably going to haunt Diana Ordonez as she puts her head on the pillow.
Maybe some different looks here too in week one, I think, on the Dash side of things. Just, we chatted a bit about that similarly with Kansas City, you know, the personnel that was available for the Dash going into this week one match. And we saw that Shea Groom was going to be unavailable in this game due to an MCL tear. And then we see, Maria Sanchez available, but on the bench for this one. So obviously, maybe some knocks out of preseason heading into week one, and maybe you don't want to run the risk of certain things this early in the season. But I think you saw, I think Houston fans got a little bit of a taste of what they're hoping to see come from that attacking front line, you know, especially with Sanchez and Ordonez and the chemistry that can potentially develop between the two of those players. So it's hard to gauge, like, you know, with week one and a team that's not at 100%, right? But I think on the other side, when you're looking at Racing, maybe not the same scenario here. And they've got what perhaps could be an ideal starting 11 on the pitch. We'll just say question mark again, because it's week one, you know. But I mean, how great was it to see Uchenna Kanu out there? Absolutely delivering. Again, the goals weren't here, but it's just like her movement, her shot selection, ability, skill, etc. I feel like I could go on. It was great to see her get her first run out in an NWSL match.
It was really, really impressive and fun to watch the pieces that Kim Bjorkegren has brought together for this Kansas City side. It really was, because there are so many new faces to this team that have never played in the NWSL before, have played in various leagues, that come from all over the world, right? There was something like six continents represented in the starting lineup for Racing Louisville. And the fact that they could have such great chemistry on the pitch, that they could have all these different pieces that were put together to be beneficial and work effectively together with, I mean, it's a long preseason, but the chances that a team gets during preseason to actually gel in an 11v11 competitive match is few and far between. I think 3 to 4 preseason friendlies did Louisville play. And it wasn't the same lineup. It wasn't all these pieces. Some of these pieces just getting into the team over the last week or two, several weeks. And that goes so much to speak to, I think, Kim Bjorkegren's coaching a little bit, but also the mentality of this team and how they're going to come together this year to put big pieces on the pitch together. And when you look at the lineup for Racing Louisville, there was no Jalen Howell available for this team. And that was a player that was named captain of this team in just her second season in the league, her sophomore season coming out of college. So now, because of that, you have to build even a little bit more. And they've got new pieces with Abby Erceg and Carson Pickett in the back line and all these new pieces coming together. It was very fun to watch because we had never seen how that would look. And I liked the way it looked, honestly. I did.
We'll see. Both two teams splitting the points here. We'll see what they build off into next week and how they look in week two. The only 0-0 scoreline that we have across the weekend and the one draw that we have over opening weekend. And that means we have to talk about the one blowout that we had to sort of close out the remainder of opening weekend. Portland Thorns, your reigning 2022 champions, going up against Orlando Pride. Thorns the winners in this one, 4-0, the scoreline. Weaver, Smith, Sukita, and Vesquin, Salos racking up the goals for Portland. And listen, they just look like a team that were just ready to come out here and get right back to what they were doing last year. That's score goals and win.
They did not miss a beat. A beat from their championship run in 2022 to this opening match. They had the big advantage of playing at home at Providence Park. They had the crowd behind them. This lineup, also incredibly similar to what we saw at the end of 2022. Crystal Dunn pushing up higher into the midfield. It brings a smile to my face to see that. I honestly, Morgan Weaver was a player that you and I had talked about on this podcast. I talked about elsewhere that I needed to step up this year. I need Morgan Weaver to have a year and just go off, because there's going to be a lot of internationals on this Thorn side that are going to be gone for a big chunk of time. And if Morgan Weaver can create magic for herself, can you double the magic when those big pieces of Smith, Sinclair, Sugita, Dunn are all around her, that's what is going to help this Portland side be successful and Morgan Weaver have an outstanding year. And the fact that Morgan Weaver is the opening goal scorer of this game, of the season, of the year for Portland, I was like giddy. I felt like a proud mom to Morgan just because of how much I want this player to succeed. And then from there, it's just a ripple effect, because that starts in the opening 16 minutes. And then 5 minutes later, we get another one from Sophia Smith. It was just a matter of time. And then they let it rip again right at the start of the second half. And before the 50th minute, Hina Sugita getting the third goal. And at that point, it's head in hands if you're an Orlando Pride player, fan. It was looking grim and downhill for them.
I mean, you look at the scoreline, sure, and you're like, wow, that's a blowout. But I think if you're watching the 90 minutes of this game, you're just looking at one team in a certain kind of form, and you're looking at another team really just trying to still find their identity on the pitch. I mean, it was a talk about the game that's going to be a tough week one match to sort of take a look at your film in the following week. It's this one for the Pride. They just never looked like they were in the game, not even in the opening 5 minutes, because it just didn't take long for Portland to go ahead and get on the scoreboard. We're talking 15 minutes for an opening goal for this team. And then not only did, you know, Sugita go ahead and get a goal in this match, I mean, she was just putting on a clinic in terms of taking advantage of the space being given to her, and at one point just absolutely cooking, you know, the players who were trying to collapse on her. It just looked too easy at times. Maybe you look at the roster in front of you. I was a little curious about what was available, like who was available or what was available for going into this game. I know we're high on a player like Madrill, you know, to sort of be one of those young pieces that Orlando can sort of look with and develop over time. I'm just curious to sort of see, like, you know, we're talking about week one, you know, players who are perhaps maybe carrying knocks into week one, and as coaching staff, you don't want to push anything too fast or too hard. And maybe that's why we didn't see certain typical starters start over the course of this opening weekend. Maybe they came out off the bench, for an example, like with someone like Maria Sanchez, or we didn't see somebody like Taylor Smith with Gotham FC. Like, maybe they're just taking precautions right now while they just maybe pick something up in training. And when we looked at the starting lineup for this and the back line, I'm like, wow, your rookie center back is not going to start with somebody like Amana Fusco, is not going to start with somebody like a Cecilia on the back line. I'm like, this might turn out not ideal for you. And that ended up being the case. And it's just I think, you know, maybe if you have players who are more ready or available to go in the following week, it looks a little, the defensive shape looks a little bit different. But in this week one game, it just left a lot to be desired.
It did. I think that's a very good point you make about kind of who was out there for certain teams. And I don't think that Orlando is doing themselves a lot of favors with the inexperienced lineup that they had. Frankly, they had Marta back in the midfield. They had Adriana. They had some pieces that have considerably been there. But when you're looking at someone like a Julie Doyle, a Michaela Clough, a Cari Abello, a Caitlin Cosme, Messiah Bright in the front line, these are all players that just don't have a lot of experience. And to go to Portland and to play in that stadium against the reigning champions, it's harsh. That is a harsh way to start your season. I am hoping that every single Orlando Pride player can kind of wipe the slate clean in their mind. Honestly, forget about this game. Like, I don't even think it would behoove them to watch that much film on it. I think it would just tear their confidence apart. Forget it. Move on. It's week one. And yes, these are crucial points to pick up, but a loss is a loss. You conceded 4 goals. How do you get that back? How do you find the positives in this and move forward next week when you have another match to play and you've got to turn it around? Because if you get down on yourselves in the first week, it is going to be a very long season for Orlando Pride. And I think they can turn it around. I think they'll get some of those pieces in there. I think they'll find some changes. It was a tough one for them to go up against Portland. And Portland said, hey, our confidence isn't wavering at all. We are going to stick it to you with 4 goals and a shutout. Oof.
Yeah, no, it'll be tough. I'm with you on that. Got to have short memory, right? I think if you're a pro athlete, and hopefully they just sort of, you know, build off the things that they were trying to build off of in the preseason, and maybe not so much within this first game. Because I was surprised to sort of see the lineup that we saw with so many rookies and or first or second year players around Marta, literally. So was surprised to, you know, not see a Listro in there, or Cecilia, you know, or, Megan Montefusco, you know, or an Erica Timrak, you know, like even an Ali Watt at this point, you know. I was like, oh, these are all players who are going to, be available on the bench apparently. But I mean, that's also, again, we, you don't know what players are carrying into week one, or if it's too serious to list on an availability report, or if it's just a knock that maybe they pick up in warm up or something like that. So we'll see. I think that's good advice. I think don't worry about this one. Forget about it.
Don't watch the film. Listen to what the people say. Just head down, get back to work, Orlando. You'll be fine.
100%. And if you're the Thorns, you're like, this is great. We're awesome. We were champions. And guess what? We're still awesome. You're on to the next one, baby. That's the energy. And that's what we're going to close out with, because it's late and you're tired. I'm tired. It's been a long weekend. We watched a lot of soccer. We watched a lot of games. Thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight on A3. Make sure that you keep tuning in to the NWSL regular season. Paramount Plus is your home for the 2023 NWSL season. And Paramount Plus is giving away a free month to kickstart you for the NWSL season. So use promo code NWSL2023. That's NWSL2023 for one free month on Paramount Plus. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Attacking Third. Download, follow, listen to us anywhere you get your podcasts. You can watch us too. Subscribe to us on YouTube to get alerts for whenever we go live at youtube.com/attackingthird. And we'll be back with more this week. So make sure you join us live on Wednesday morning on YouTube. For Sandra Herrera and Lisa Roman, this was Attacking Third.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.